After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. And then it tells us of the disciples that were there. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also come with you." And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. These were professional fishermen. These were expert fishermen. They knew what they were doing, and they knew how to go about it. And all that they could put into it availed them nothing. They had nothing to show for all that they could do in life. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Cast your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. And in Luke chapter 5, there is a similar story, where at an earlier time, Jesus had done this very same thing. And he told them to cast their net out, and they brought in a great load of fish. And so again, he gives them that instruction here. Now, at times in life, when life seems to avail nothing from our viewpoint, it seems that all our labor gives us nothing in return that we desire. We wonder, why has God deserted us? Where is He at? What is this all about? And yet oftentimes, what we see in life as failures, what we see in life as the lack of God's provision, is God setting the stage for His glory to be shown in our life. And yet so often, we say, "But God, why? But God, it would be better if. But Lord, if you would..." And then we start telling God what He needs to do to make us happy. Let's continue with the story and see what God speaks to us today through this. In verse 7, "That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved and said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord..." In other words, he didn't recognize who it was, but John did. "When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish." So 100 yards out in the water, they were in the boat, and they had a huge catch of fish then when they put the net where Jesus said to put the net. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go swimming, I take some of my clothes off. Peter put his coat on, and he jumped in the water. I don't know how deep the water is out there, but he had to wade in, or he swim in until he could reach the bottom, and then he came in. Meanwhile, the other guys were left there to get the catch of fish in to the shore. But Peter was a different sort. He was real impulsive. When he knew what to do, that's usually what he did. Or at least he went about it. Right or wrong, he went about it. But John and the others stayed in the boat, and they brought the fish in. And they met Jesus at the shore. And he already had breakfast ready for them. And so they stopped right there, and they had breakfast. "So when they got upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you've caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fish, 153, and the net was not torn. And Jesus said, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples ventured to question him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. And he came and took bread and gave them, and the fish likewise." And then when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus had a conversation with Peter. And we remember that it was foretold to Peter that he would deny the Lord. And he denied the Lord 3 times. And 3 times Jesus went over with him, "Simon, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Take care of my little lambs." And again he said, "Simon, do you really love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do love you." He said, "Take care of these sheep of mine." And again he says, "Simon, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved. And Jesus spoke to him and said, then take care of these sheep of mine. Shepherd over them. Watch over their soul. And take care of them. And then he said, Peter, I want you to come and follow me. And we have to search our own hearts and how that speaks to each one of us. I love this story about Peter. And it's really good when I don't make it about me. But when I read this for what God speaks to me, it gets very personal. It gets too close to home. The Word of God goes into my heart. And that's where I find the trouble. We need to each search our own hearts and say, what does God speak to me in these words to Peter? And what does it mean to my life today? And in this place that we're at, never in my wildest dreams would I ever think I would be here. And yet God saw fit to bring us all here today. And that's a joy that we can share for an eternity in every place we go this week. The blessings that we have together because of the love of Christ and how He's arranged all these circumstances for us. Well, in his conversation with Peter, at the end he said, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. And he said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And then when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, talking about John. And he said, Lord, who is... Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the completer of our faith, who for the joy set before him, despising the shame, endured the cross. And he was obedient to the Father. And so God tells us, be obedient to what God calls us to do. Now in this story, when Peter found out it was Jesus on the shore, he put his coat on and he jumped in the water. You know, I might think, I'll leave the coat here. I'm going to jump in the water. I'm going to go see the Lord. And John, you bring my coat in. Why do you suppose he put the coat on and jumped in the water? It may be worth considering that Peter didn't think he was coming back to the boat. Peter wasn't waiting for the boat. If Jesus said, follow me, they were gone. He was ready to go. And he had his coat with him. And he got to shore and Jesus said, well, let's have breakfast. Let's sit down and have some fellowship and talk about something. You know, and I think Peter was ready to go. Like, we've been waiting. We've been waiting. Let's go. And Jesus was telling him, I didn't say, run out there. I said, follow me. Sit down. Have a meal. Let's talk about this. And then, when I'm ready, you come follow me. Meanwhile, John and the other guys were bringing the night's work in. They had to do the work. Peter was just off running. God makes each one of us different. We're each unique. And you know, sometimes I look at other Christians and I say, why are they doing it? Why don't they do it like I do it? Why don't they do it the right way? Why don't they do what they're supposed to? Like I know. God makes each one of us different. He makes us unique. And He's made us for His purposes. And He's made us for His glory. And Jesus says to each one of us, follow me. And we simply need to follow Him. He gives us examples in other people. But we're to follow Him and fix our eyes on Him. So in this, we need to realize that Peter wasn't the first one to understand. It was even the Lord speaking to him. Someone else gave him that understanding. But when he knew, he was ready to follow. John was the first one to really understand. But he didn't jump in the water and race in there. He took care of details that needed to be taken care of. And he came in. And he was ready to follow. He just wasn't as fast as Peter, which was to his great benefit sometimes. So as he calls you, as he calls me, we need to follow him. But we need to follow him. And he'll bring others into our life. But let's make sure, as he brings authorities over us, and we follow those authorities, we submit to those authorities, it's according to the will and the purpose of God. And what he reveals to us is our purpose in life. Peter didn't know everything. But he did know one thing. Jesus said, follow me. The other disciples didn't know everything. But they did know something. And Jesus said, follow me. And they did. And I know every one of us here doesn't know everything. But every one of us does know something. God asks us to be obedient in what we do know. When we're obedient in what we do know, he'll show us something else. Day by day and moment by moment. I'll give you an illustration of that. And then we'll close with it. When I was a young believer, I mean, I was excited. I knew that eternal life was real. I knew this God was exciting and he had a plan. And as far as I know, I was the dumbest newborn Christian there ever was because I didn't know. And as I came to understand a little bit and a little bit more and maybe a little bit more, and all the mistakes and all the trials and every day, I wanted to be a part of whatever he was going to do. And as God placed people in my life, I could see that there were pastors who had a passion and an understanding and reality to that relationship. And I said, God, I don't know what your plan is, but I want to be in it. And I thank you very much that I'm not a pastor, because that's something that's just too far out there. I'm very thankful for that. So whatever it is you got for me to do, that'll be good. But thank you, I'm not a pastor. And I said, I'll whatever you want me to do, it'll be good. Just so I don't have to go any third world countries. I mean, that's scary stuff. I can't do that. But I'll follow you wherever, except for those two things. And I think God said, well, basically, those are the two things we got to work on. And so I'm a pastor to the great blessing of my life. And he's taken me different places to the great blessing of my life. And I'm thankful for that. But what he's shown me in the midst of a lot of those things is that you don't have to know everything. Just be obedient right where you're at today. Let's be obedient to him. And when he calls us, let's do that. And he'll show us the rest when we get there. God's grace in the time of need. And when you fail, and it's guaranteed that you'll fail because you're part of the human condition. When we fail, he's provided for it already. Get up and keep going. He says, do you love me? Then go about the work I give you to do. Just follow me. And if we fail again, when that time comes, he says, get up. Do you love me? Then obey me. Do what I've given you to do. What a blessing it is to simply walk with him. And he'll take us wherever it is he wants to go. That's the best place to be. And it always is. As it was with Peter, so it is with you. So it is with me. So today, let's continue to go to these places and be blessed in it. And know that God is doing a work in you today and through this next week. That's not just going to be a time of vacation and pictures to show when you get home. He's going to use you to have an impact in other people's lives that he's designed only you can do. Because you're unique. His plan is to do it through you. Be faithful and obedient. Let's say a prayer in this and ask it for application in our lives. And hopefully we'll get to go some more around through here. Good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your grace and your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the strength in our life, which is the joy that you bring to us. Lord, we do pray for our time and our relationships together. Lord, we pray for the time that we spend in the different places. Lord, we thank you for all that we have to share together in the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the tour, for the guides, for the drivers, for the joy we have in the places we see. The views are beautiful, but the thought in itself that Jesus Christ walked here and those saints who have gone on before us were here is the profound thought. In the simplicity of your plan and the joy of your grace, may we be blessed in it, that we can share that blessing with people everywhere we go. We praise you and thank you in the name of our precious and holy Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.